right here on the Arms Room Show with Glenn
and Drew.
And thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show. Thank you for what you do to help us do classes in the community. And thanks for being just a productive member of society. You know, our podcast is available for free. And we've debated over the years about, you know, whether or not to make it some of it free. And, you know, like the second half of it, you have to be a patron or whatever. But I got to be honest, I have a hard time doing that. I have a hard enough time as it is charging people for training, to be honest with you. So I really appreciate you guys, you know, being the more productive listeners and saying, hey, we appreciate what you guys do to us. Because if you're a patron, we know you appreciate the show and that really helps us out. Extra show for our $10 and above patrons. Don't forget about it. Now, we haven't done the February one yet, but it's coming. So make sure that you keep an eye on that. You should get a patron notice from it. And remember, if you think you're not getting all the benefits of being a patron, email us and ask us, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll make sure that you absolutely get those benefits. Last week, we had Miles Schneider on the show with us talking about building a self-defense resume and the concepts of, you know, USCCA membership and things like that. It is really important, if you guys didn't listen to that episode, to go back and listen to it. I know it's one of the longer ones, and we're trying to bring them back into like an hour. We really are working on that. But I know it's one of the longer ones. I highly recommend you go back and listen to it. It really was a very informational show, and you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth of a criminal defense attorney who's defended it. People against these types of charges. And you think sometimes in your head, oh, no, I'm a good guy. I know the laws. I'm a, you know, a good, honest American. Yeah, cool. I've thought that too. I'm telling you, make sure that you go back and listen to this and set up your self-defense resume so that you're a lot easier to defend for the fight after the fight. Got a video sent to us from a listener of a video of a guy as an Uber driver. This guy's getting choked out by this crazy woman that basically wakes up in the back seat of his Uber and starts choking this guy.
So weird.
And what happens next is the most stupid thing. I can't even describe it. I'll be honest, I don't even know if the video is real. Like it's so stupid that it's hard for me to even think if it's real. And the guy's getting choked, and then she stops choking. He's like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Obviously, he can breathe if he's saying he can't breathe. But he's still getting choked, and this woman's doing weird stuff, and she's not really being very aggressive. And someone's filming it, and they're asking him if he's called 911, and he's like fishing for his phone. And he drives forward a little ways, and he comes back, and people are like kind of oddly around. I don't know, like, the details of this video. It's crazy. And if you go on to if you want to see this and try to make some fucking sense of it, I was emailing back and forth with this student, and he says he uses iTeroni, I-T-E-R-O-N-I, which isn't YouTube. And so if you go to iTeroni.com, you can then look up videos, shows, Florida woman choke, bite, and scratch Uber driver. So if you want to see the video in question, go ahead and go to iTeroni.com and look up video shows Florida woman choke, bite, and scratch Uber driver. I don't know what the fuck is going on in this video. It looks fake and made up. I don't know. But I wrote back to this listener, and I was like, I'm having a hard time watching this video or figuring out what to say about it because it's so fucking stupid. And he sent back a different, you know, this is why I like discussing things with people, right? Because there's always a different way to think about shit. And this is how he was thinking about it, which made me then, of course, think about it too. And he said he's doing exactly what our modern culture has trained him to do. In the NBA world, we have a phrase that every system is perfectly designed to achieve the results that it gets. Our modern culture is perfectly designed to get that guy's reaction to violence. And then that really made me consider, like, holy shit, he's right. Outside of the people I'm normally around, here's an issue that sometimes happens to me. I have never really been around these people my whole life. I grew up around rough and tumble rednecks, country folks, mountain men, farmers, ranchers, tough people. We did hard things. I went from that world around military folks, from that world for a few years into the trades and construction around concrete folks, and then into the training world, where I'm surrounded constantly by our instructors, our awesome students, people who aren't this guy. And I've always said, and I've said on the show before, and I'll say again, you are the people you surround yourself with, right? So look at the top five people that are that you surround yourself with. You're those people. If they're motivated and determined, you're going to be motivated and determined. If they're hardworking and dedicated, you're going to be hardworking and dedicated. If they're physically fit, you're going to be physically fit. If they're losers, you're going to be a loser. If they're slackers, you're going to be a slacker. If they're lazy, you're going to be lazy, right? Look at the top five people you spend the most time around, and that's who you are. Like, you don't see – like it's pretty rare to see, you know, one skinny person around a whole bunch of fat people. Like that's just not common. Usually those people are like family or it's, you know, the chick who's figured out that if she spends time around fat people, she can make herself look better. Outside of that, like you are the people you spend time around. So I don't spend time around this guy. I don't spend time around this kind of behavior. I mean, in the first 5 seconds of this video, anyone I know would have solved the problem. And I don't mean like pull out their pistol and shoot this bitch in the face. Like I don't mean that. I mean like, they would have gotten out of the fucking car. He's in the front seat. She's in the back seat. They would have put that bitch in park, opened the door, shut it, and said fucking be crazy in the car, bitch. Or they would have physically done something, right? She's got one shitty weak arm wrapped around a headrest and him. Just go a 2-on-1 and pull her fucking arm off your neck. Like there's 1,001 solutions to this problem of which he does zero. 2 years ago, I thought to myself, no one will shut down their business for this shit. Nobody's going to stop going to church. No one's going to stop going to school. No one's going to voluntarily wear masks around. That's who would put a experimental drug in their body that's unproven. We spent 100 years researching cancer, and you're telling me this magical vaccine just showed up overnight? And I was wrong about everything. And so because of that, now when I watch this, it still befuddles me, but I wouldn't say that it's anything other than, you know, what this listener wrote back. Every system is perfectly designed to achieve the results that it gets. That's the fucking truth, man. Our system has been designed so that this guy is probably the most common. My people, our people, the people listening to the show, the people who come to our training classes, the people who have our same mindset and lifestyle, we can't fathom being in this, but we're the minority. We're not the majority. Once upon a time, we were the majority. I grew up with people like us who were the majority. I've worked around people like us who are the majority. But I don't think in society we're the majority. It's important to remember that. This whole video, the video itself is whatever, but the lessons that we're taking away from it on how people might react to violence is crazy. Watch videos. Start watching videos about violent interactions. Stop watching the people involved and just start watching the people around them. The reactions are interesting, to say the least. So that's what I have to say about that. Other great news, as typical, I don't fucking know. It is what it is. Who cares?
Who cares at this point?
Who cares anymore? But I will say I did go see a movie that surprised me, and it's rare that I go to a movie in the movie theater and I'm like, wow. And I've said I typically talk about the ones that I'm like, wow, here on the show because I actually enjoyed it. And I go to movies to be entertained. I'm not looking for political messages. I'm not trying to look at realism. I'm like, I'm going to go see this war movie because that's just what it's like. No, it's fucking Hollywood. It's not what it's like. But I do want to, you know, be entertained. And so my old son and I were like, hey, let's go to a movie, you know, last week. And we went to a late night movie. And we went and saw The Kingsman. It's like a prequel to these other movies about the – I never saw the other ones. I didn't really care to. But we went to see this one because we just kind of wanted to go see a movie and it was really the only one that looked interesting. Fucking good movie. I really enjoyed it. So if you're looking for just a good, fun, enjoyable, fun action, fight scene, decent plot – couple twists and turns. Go check this movie out. It was a good movie. So go check that out. Red Wire gear moment for this week. Secure your equipment. Don't become a tactical yard sale. Probably the number one thing we see in classes when people, especially when people are trying out stuff they've never used before, is the tactical yard sale concept. As soon as we start moving in class, running in class, bounding in class, whatever it is we're doing, getting into different positions. People's stuff is jabbing them in the ribs. They're moving it around. Now it's not secure. They start running. Shit's falling out. Guys, we've seen pistols come out of holsters. We've seen plenty of mags fall out of carriers. If it's a retention, maybe it's not tight enough. They don't have the strap over it, whatever it is. They're used to standing static and shooting, and so their stuff never falls out. Then we start making people move around a lot, shoot from different positions a lot, and then next thing you know, everything's coming out. Secure your equipment. Don't be a tactical yard sale. Go out and practice with it. Go out and train with it. Just go out in the backyard and move around with it. See if it stays secure. See if it's comfortable enough for you to move in. See if it's jabbing you, poking you, stabbing you. Don't be a tactical yard sale. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Our topic for this week, acclimating to the weather and getting ready for the warmer months. All right, I'm going to sum this up real quick. Go outside. Go outside a lot.
Go hiking.
This topic is important because of the, you know, we are an emergency response training organization. We're an emergency response podcast. Our whole topic is being prepared and being ready. One of the biggest things I see people not ready for is not acclimated to the weather. People go out in cold weather, hot weather, wet weather, whatever it is, and they're not ready for what that weather does to them. We see people get hung up drawing their handgun in their coats or wearing gloves, and all of a sudden they can't manipulate something very well because they never thought ahead of time, hey, I should probably get my gear and get myself ready for the weather environments I'm going to be in. The reason being is we are, unfortunately, a nation especially, of comfort. We want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable in everything that we do. We've got the air conditioning. We've got, you know, the heater. We've got really nice synthetic clothing. Our every building that we go into is temperature controlled. And at our will, we can just walk over and turn the temperature up and down most of the time, especially in our homes. So we get really lazy about this acclimation thing. You need to be acclimated to the weather. I don't care if you're going to be changing a tire on the side of the road or fighting for your life or having to travel across varied terrain to get to the rally point. Whatever it is you're going to be doing, you need to be ready for it. You need to acclimate your caveman or cavewoman body to the environment. Stop with all the temperature control. That's thing number one. Go outside. Go outside. You can't control the temperature outside, so go outside. Let your body be a little cold. Let your body be a little hot. I'm not saying put yourself in a dangerous environment. But when it's a little cold, be a little cold. When it's a little hot, be a little hot. It's okay if you're not perfectly temperature acclimated by adding, you know, air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. Go outside and be naturally temperature acclimated. Get your body used to it. People will ask us or even construction workers, right? I hear, I've got a couple buddies still in the trades and people ask them all the time, man, how do you do it? How do you work outside? It's 115 degrees. And they're like, well, it sucks for the first few days. It's 115 degrees and then I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, right now it's 65, 70 degrees during the day here. And we're like, oh God, it's so hot. It feels so hot.
Especially when you're in the sun all day long and there's no wind or cloud coverage.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, it's so hot.
It's so hot. And then you look at your watch and you're like, oh fuck, it's only like 68 degrees.
And in a few months, it's going to be over 100. And we're going to be still saying, like, oh, it's so hot. Like, yeah. It feels, honestly, a 40 degree shift is going to feel damn near the same.
Almost.
Because we're outside so much and acclimated to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, in the summertime, we just spend enough time outdoors, not just for work.
But recreation.
We recreate. We go out, we run. Drew's running club doesn't stop because it's hot. Doesn't stop because it's cold. Doesn't stop no matter what.
We run when it's 115 out.
Yeah, and your body can get acclimated to that kind of weather. And you can acclimate to what you also need to do for that kind of weather. Like, do I need to take more breaks in my running, let's say?
Yeah.
Or do I need to drink more water during my hikes, let's say? Or, hey, when I'm training, you know, how do I need to dial things back or dial them up appropriate to the weather conditions?
And I think going to the back to the water thing, I feel like a lot of people don't really necessarily properly hydrate when it's winter out because, A, it's cold. They don't want to drink cold water. B, they don't feel as dehydrated. And I can only speak for a lot of people in Arizona. I feel this is a big area that people lack on a lot is that they're not properly intaking the water that they should be doing in the wintertime. And so then when summer leads up to it, they have not trained their body to keep drinking. Because I feel a lot of people in Arizona are really good about staying hydrated. It's so fucking hot. You can feel it in your skin. You can feel just how dry and gross you feel. And you know, as an Arizonan, you're not getting enough water. Mm. But when it comes to wintertime, everybody is just pretty lax on not drinking it because their skin's moist. There's more moisture in the air. So now is a really good time to start prepping your body for the intake of water again. Everybody should be drinking the same amount of water, whether it's winter or summer. Obviously more in summer because you're depleting it even more. But now start getting back on the regimen of start training your body again that you are going to be processing a lot of water. And don't just chug it, because we always hear, oh yeah, well I chugged 2 bottles of water, blah, 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 I should be okay. That's not right either, because you're not doing any you're doing a disservice to your body than you're actually hydrating. The more that you chug and the faster that you do it, your body is not going to be absorbing it. It needs to be done over consistently through the hours that you're drinking water, consistently drinking, intaking. So properly hydrating is a great way to acclimate, and it's one of the best ways to actually stay even cooler in the summertime, is if you're more hydrated, you're going to be better off and you're not going to get dehydrated as fast.
And that's a really important point, is that that constant water intake. I mean, that's why like hydration packs, 5 years ago, not everyone carried around Hydro Flask and shit all the time. But and you can say, oh, Hydro Flasks are more expensive than everything else. I'll tell you why I still support Hydro Flask.
They're not that expensive,
well,
though.
Well, they're more expensive than some of the other ones. Here's why. Because they set the tone for carrying water everywhere you go. And, you know, Yeti makes a good one, and that 510 or whatever company, I can't remember what they're called, they're fine. I mean, look, any fucking company is making, like, you know, that vacuum double-walled insulated, like, whatever it is, I don't care what you're carrying, but they kind of set a precedence, you know, for carrying water. Nalgene tried, and everyone had Nalgene bottles for so long, but the problem with Nalgene bottles, of course, is they were, you know, see-through plastic, and so they would get really hot, really cold, or whatever it was, and people would carry Nalgene bottles around all the time, and that definitely started the popularity. But where I really saw that popularity jump was with Hydro Flask. It's when I started keeping water like that at the range with me or at work with me all the time. You know, always had water bottles and things like that, but when I really started carrying like my own personalized water bottle, so to speak, was with, you know, the big kind of push with Hydro Flask and everything. So it's important because everyone's got access to those types of tools to keep water with you all the time. That way you're constantly intaking it. And there's the same thing with Camelbacks and hydration bladders and how popular they became thanks to, you know, largely in part to Camelback. And so I still support those companies because, one, they still make really kick-ass products and they're really good at what they do. And I don't have problems with their products. I have problems with other brands, but I don't have problems with their stuff. And also, I promote them because they really helped push the importance of staying hydrated all the time. They gave us that capability of going from, you know, I'm old school military canteen to all of a sudden using Camelbacks. It was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I don't have to try to fish a fucking canteen out of a pocket somewhere, out of a pouch. I can just grab this hose and drink some water.
I actually have the same Hydro Flask that I bought 7 years ago, whenever they first came out and they started becoming a thing. I mean, mine looks like shit. It is beat to fuck and has tons and tons of tents in it. But it's literally the exact same one.
Still hanging in there.
Yeah. And it works just fine. I mean, it's sitting in my truck right now.
And so that's one way, just to kind of make sure you're constantly intaking. Make sure you're starting to prep your body with more, you know, electrolytes. We're not just drinking water, but we're eating good foods that are electrolyte, potassium heavy. And we're also starting to use things, and you should be using these all the time anyway, but things like Drip Drop, Wilderness Athlete, Liquid IV, all that stuff, right? Those are all good, whatever it is you like, okay? There's so many, the Nuns or Noons or how the fuck you say that, the Camelback Elixir, I don't care. Whatever it is that you like, just use it. I'm partial to Drip Drop myself. I really like it. But start intaking water more. You know the warmer months are coming. Start doing that. And maybe if you're like, if you're buried in 6 or 8 feet of snow right now, you're like, fuck you, man.
But still.
The warmer months aren't coming. They are coming.
But it's still even important to have hydration and water, even though you're buried in the snow.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, cold weather, your body still needs water all the time. And like Drew said, we kind of trick ourselves into thinking it doesn't. So drinking water and starting with that is going to be the second part of like, hey, just go outside and start acclimating. It's okay to be a little bit cold. It's okay to be a little bit hot. It's okay. Start acclimating to the weather. Make sure your hydration input is appropriate. Another way you need to start getting ready and acclimating to the weather specifically is to not just be going outside, but be doing those harder activities. Start getting your body used to doing hard things outside. Like one of my favorite things about one of the gyms that we go to is that they have an outdoor workout area. First of all, rarely are there people out there during the summertime because everyone wants to work out inside in the air conditioning. So I pretty much get the place to myself. But the other thing I like about working out outside is, yeah, it's hot. Yeah, I'm sweating way fucking more. But I'm helping my body acclimate to physical stress and working and building muscle and recreating, you know, or rebuilding muscle and doing all that in the heat. That's why I like to run in the heat. You know, number one complaint in the running club is, okay, how can we run so it's the least hot? How can we run where there's the most shade? And I'm all for comfort, of course. I want to enjoy this experience and not just be – I don't just want to be like I'm in, you know, fucking selection every single day or anything like that. But on the other hand of things, I don't mind running in the heat in the summertime. I know it's hot. I take more breaks. I slow things down. I make sure I hydrate well before. I make sure I hydrate well after. Like, that's all important stuff. But I like when that weather's just a little bit more harsh because I want my body to acclimate to it better. It's the same thing with, you know, people who go on hikes. Here in Arizona, for example, everybody thinks that the whole damn state is the fucking desert. It's not. It's the least amount of Arizona is actually desert. The most amount of Arizona is well above several thousand feet. And, you know, we've got our, you know, 13,000-foot mountain and we've got – you know, all kinds of mountains that are above 10,000. We've got a lot of, you know, big areas, massive parts of the state that are, you know, regularly above 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet. So there's plenty of elevation change. And from where we live in the Phoenix area, we could be at 8,000 feet an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we can be, you know, above 10,000 feet in another 45 minutes. So it doesn't take very long for us to change elevation quickly. And this is another issue to consider about acclimating just generally, is the problem that we see a lot, is especially for the search and rescue folks like up north, is people will come down from Phoenix and they're like, hey, I'm in good shape, I'm acclimated to the weather, I go outside, I recreate, et cetera. And then they go jam up to the top of, you know, Mount Humphreys, for example, big giant, you know, tallest mountain here in Arizona. And they end up, you know, at 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 feet, and they're already gassing out, and they get altitude sickness, and they start getting edemas, and they have all kinds of problems like that. And then they have to be rescued off the side of the mountain. It's like, why are we rescuing this really fit, acclimated person? Because they didn't let themselves actually acclimate to that environment. So again, you might be like, oh, I'm acclimated because I go outside all the time in the wintertime, whatever, but hey, in the summertime, I stay inside. Then you're no longer acclimated, is my point. Mm-hmm. Because I can be totally acclimated to my environment here, but if I go up north where it's still 20 degrees at night, or it's even in the single digits, really, if you go far enough north, it's even single digits at night still, and there's still snow on the ground, and I'm way up there thousands of feet high, I'm not going to be acclimated. It's going to fuck me up. My blood's not ready. My, you know, the pressure in my body's not ready. It's not ready. And so I can't just be, oh, well, I'm in good shape and acclimated here, I'll be fine everywhere. No, you won't. And now the pressure is going to affect you more than the temperature shift is. But again, people are like, oh, yeah, I love the wintertime. That's when I hike in Arizona. That's when I hunt in Arizona. That's when I get outside. That's when I recreate. Boy, in the summertime, I'm mostly just kind of bunkering, you know, hunkering down. It's like, well, then you're no longer acclimated. And you're no longer in as good a shape as you might think. I know plenty of heavy set dudes who work outside who are way more ready for an emergency outside than, you know, Mr. Trim and Fit, who works out in a fucking air conditioning gym and then gets into an air conditioning car and drives to an air conditioned house and works at his air conditioned office. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you may be super trim and fit, but you can't do shit outside. You would fucking collapse in the first actual 15 to 30 minutes worth of work. We see it in our training classes all the time in the summertime. We take way more breaks and we take them more, you know, longer breaks. And we'll see, you know, guys who are trim, fit, and they're crashing out by lunchtime. They're just like, damn, I'm fucking cooked out there, and they're not even ready. And we haven't even started the hard shit yet, because our classes, the hard shit always starts after lunch. And it's like, we haven't even really got to the meat and potatoes of things yet. And they're like, oh my God, this heat is killing me. Because yeah, they may be all trim and fit and ready to rock, but they're not acclimated to the weather.
Yeah.
So acclimating to that weather, again, incredibly important, because we're just looking at it from an emergency response perspective. Other ways to start acclimating to the weather is to make sure that everything in your life is acclimated to weather. Now is the time to check your air conditioning unit. Don't wait till the summertime when it goes out. Don't wait till the summer. Don't be trying to be the one of 4 million people who are calling AC service companies begging for your AC to be a huge priority to them. And they are like, dude, we're backlogged by a week. We can't get everybody. Check your air conditioning unit now in your vehicle, in your office, in your home, whatever. Make sure you're ready to roll. Have backup methods. Have fans. Have some, you know, mobile evap cooler sitting in the garage or whatever. Be ready in case air conditioning goes out in your home, in case it goes out in your office. Make sure that you have some kind of backup method. Pace this just like we pace everything else. Start looking at your actual vehicle components. Look at batteries, windshield wipers, tires, things that are sensitive to temperature changes. Start looking at your med kits, especially the ones that are inside vehicles or exposed to the weather at all. Look at the daily use equipment. How's it going to be affected when it gets really hot again? Rotate out any food that's been cold and is now going to be hot. Rotate out water. Do all those kinds of things. Start getting your whole life acclimated now. If you start now, you'll be better when the time comes. And then it's just going to be like, yeah, okay, there'll be a few days of suffering and then you'll be just fine. And I can tell you this based on my own personal experience and the experience of all the people that we work with and work around. The more you start now, even if it's so cold where you are, even if you're still in fucking snow, start considering what's going to happen with everything in your life once the weather turns hotter. How's that going to affect your equipment? How's it going to affect your preparedness? How's it going to affect your fitness? And then, of course, let's not forget about the next level of the next zone, and that's going to be your family. Are they acclimated? Acclimation with kids particularly is really important to understand. Because kids go into shock, both compensated and decompensated, i.e. hypothermia and hyperthermia, faster than adults do because their bodies can't take the same amount of damage. Places like Phoenix Children's Hospital down here and the other, you know, emergency service areas here, or emergency service centers, I mean, see a lot higher risk in kids and a lot more cases of kids in the summertime coming in with heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and even death. Because they're not acclimated either and their bodies can't take it. I'm gonna give you a personal example that happened to one of our instructors. At the time, he was working in the medical field over at Phoenix Children's Hospital, and they had a young man come in. I wanna say he was like 11 or 12 years old, and he was dead. And he had a body core temperature of 117 degrees. And that was when he showed up, which means that out in the woodies, he probably had like well over 120. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like a stepfather, I'm going to harden you up, kid. You know, so we're going for this hard hike. And I think he took him over to like South Mountain or something like that and just absolutely fucking devastated this kid and just wrecked his fucking body. Now, that kid wasn't ready for that because he probably and I know some of you guys are like, well, of course he wasn't. Yep, but it still fucking happens. And you know people that are doing this shit. They're taking people, be it kids or their friends or whatever, and they take them out there and they push them too hard. People do the same thing to themselves. You got someone who's like, man, I'm not feeling very good about myself. I'm going to go out and get in shape. I'm going to hike. And then they start getting sick and they can't handle it. They're not acclimated. They're like, I'm just going to push harder. Okay, if you push harder into hypothermia or hyperthermia, you just die. That's all that happens next. So you can't muscle your way through a lack of acclimation to the weather. You just can't. Like, yeah, you can shiver through a night, sure. You can struggle through a sweaty day, sure. But I'm not talking about minimal amount of lack of acclimation. I mean, like, when you're not ready for the extreme temperature shifts and you go out and try to do really hard, difficult physical things. And now people go like, well, come on, why is this such a big deal? Because it's an emergency response thing. Let's just say how you are right now, your habits right now. It's June of 2022. madness is upon us. Streets are chaos. People are nutty. In order for you to defend your section of the world, your community, your neighborhood, whatever, you've got to kit up, armor, helmet, rifle, several mags, one-day sustainment pack, battle rig, and you got to go out on a patrol, a guard post, whatever. And you're going to have to be out there for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours. You going to be ready for that? Are you realistically going to be ready for that? And I don't mean muscular-wise. Acclimation-wise, are you ready for that? Because all of that gear I just mentioned increases your chance of dehydration, is going to increase your body core temperature. And if you're not ready for that, it will put you down. And the last thing anybody wants to be, who's listening to the show probably, is a liability. You want to be an asset. All right, so let's take it down a notch. Not quite so serious. Not the end of the world. Your kid just fell at a family hike. It's August. It's well over 100 degrees. Maybe you're somewhere that has a lot of humidity, so that makes it worse. Now you got to pick that kid up, and you got to get him someplace where emergency services can get to him. You're off on a trail. Search and rescue is going to take too long. You got to get him back to the trailhead, and you got to do it in a jiffy. It'd be super noble to be the dad that died saving their child, but here's what's even cooler, not dying. So can you pick your kid up and haul ass with them back to the trailhead to get them to a higher level of care with enough stamina left over that you yourself are now not also a liability? Let's make it even less serious. You're driving down the freeway in the summertime, blown out tire. You climb outside, asphalt's 200 plus degrees, ambient temperature's well over 100. Are you ready to change that tire? Is your body going to go like, my God, and go into some kind of crazy shock? Because it's going to take you a little while to do this. You're going to have to be down on the ground. Things are really hot. You got to tools and knowledge and skills aside, is your body ready to do this, to be physical outside in 100 plus degrees? Are you actually ready in whatever your temperature conditions are? We're talking about warmer months, but obviously this can just as easily go to the cold months. What if the water turned off in the middle of the summertime? Is your life acclimated for low water consumption? Because you think everybody says, well, I could do it if I had to. No, you fucking can't. You don't just change your life overnight. Typically speaking, that is not an easy or comfortable or possible thing for most people to do. Are you right now exercising low water consumption methods? How you wash the dishes, how you wash yourself, how you wash the dog, how you water the plants, how you brush your teeth. All of those things are important. Are you exercising low water usage? Because if suddenly the water turns off and you have to go to your water storage, and from my understanding and most people I talk to, their water storage is nothing to get too excited about. So let's say you got a 50-gallon water drum in your backyard. All right, that'd be cool. That's a lot of good water. And you got a 50-gallon water heater. Okay, that's cool. You got 100 gallons. Awesome, cool. That's a good place to start. You got 100 gallons of water. How many people live in your house? Times that by 2 gallons a day. I know people say it's a gallon a day. It's not. It's 2 gallons a day. So you're going to need 2 gallons a day. You got 100 gallons. You got average of 4 or 5 people living in your house. That's not very long. That's going to go really quick. If you're exercising low water use consumption, you could probably stretch that out. If you're using water the way you use it right now, you're probably going to need like 10 or 20 gallons a day if we're being realistic with ourselves. Acclimating to the warmer weather isn't just us acclimating our body. It's acclimating our daily habits. It's acclimating our equipment, our gear, our people, our zones of preparation. How are you going to be ready for those hotter, drier months? If you start now with good habits, if you start now with the actual acclimation process, you're going to be that much more prepared if or when I should say, the warmer months come, and if you need to perform, especially if you need to perform to save somebody's life or your own life in those conditions. I can tell you from my time being in the outdoors and saving people in outdoors and doing rescue work and things like that, that they just – it's amazing how little people are ready. They've lived their whole life. I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoorsman, blah, 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 blah. And I just want to tell people most of the time, like, yeah, you ain't much of one. That may be what you call yourself, but you ain't much of one. Came out here with almost no water. Why you call yourself? I'm like a camel. No, you're not. Your human body is your human body. I'm sorry. Your human body is your human body. Do some people need more water than others? Sure. Do some people need less? Absolutely. But your human body is still your human body. It needs water for everything it does. You've been functioning with such little water for so long, you think you're a camel. You think that your body doesn't need more water. Probably what would happen if you gave your body the water it needed is you would perform better. You'd be more clear-minded. You'd be less in less pain. You would perform physically and mentally better. The same thing with sleep. This is something I'm like a damn near fucking expert at, which is the fact that yeah, I know how long I can go with minimal sleep. I can go a long time. I'm real good with minimal sleep at staying alive. But I'm not highly functioning. And the longer it goes with minimal sleep, the worse it fucking gets. Until I get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I only need like 4 hours a night, 3 hours a night. No, I don't. I need 7, 8 hours a night. That's what I need. It's just not what I'm giving my body. And so it's so used to getting beat up and worn down that the suboptimal performance has now become the norm. And it's the same thing that happens with poor acclimation to weather, dehydration, and things of that nature. Don't beat your bodies up so much. Let them perform to their maximum level, but they can't do that unless you start now to prepare. Anything I missed there, Drew?
I would also just say with acclimating yourself, like you touched base on acclimating the gear, check your gear because it is about to be pretty damn hot here pretty soon. And check your gear if you never checked it from last year. Definitely check it and make sure that nothing's dry rotted or falling apart from the heat or whatever. Things sometimes bust open because it does get so hot, so bottles start to ooze, anything like that. Check all that stuff just to make sure all that is good to go.
So looking up from a couple different health organizations, I found like an actual recommendation for heat acclimation, which is maybe a little bit more scientific than we've been talking about. It says heat acclimation is the improvement in heat tolerance that comes from gradually increasing the intensity or duration of work performed in a hot setting. The best way to acclimate yourself to the heat is to increase the workload performed in a hot setting gradually over a period of 1 to 2 weeks. So again, it takes a couple of weeks to really become acclimated to that level of heat. I mentioned earlier, I feel like it only takes a few days, but probably fully it takes a couple of weeks. I'll tell you, the first like couple hot classes I teach, and Drew's been around me several summers now, I could say that she's seen what happens. The first couple like really hot classes I teach, I'm pretty intense when I teach. I'm in it, man. I'm with the students. I'm outside. I'm not taking the same amount of breaks. I'm not taking the same amount of lunch break. If I take one at all, like I'm in there. I'm in here for the work to be done. And so by the end of the day, I've spent the most time outside, the most time getting blasted by the sun. I've gotten heat sickness, mild heat or major heat exhaustion, maybe even mild heat stroke. I've come home before super fucked up, super dehydrated to my own fault. I'm telling you, that's not where you want to be. It sucks, and that's what happens if I don't spend the appropriate amount of time heat acclimating. So I know that this year. I don't want to repeat something that happened to me last year. I got really sick for a couple of days after the very first like really hot class I taught. I don't want that to happen. It was miserable. It was sucky, and I had to keep training, so I just had to keep doing it. But it was really uncomfortable, man. I did not like it, and I don't know what I did to my body, but I know it's a permanent fuck up. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't a nice thing that I did. I don't want to do that again. I know for me myself this year, I'm going to spend more time with that slower acclimation, that gradual acclimation, than just slamming my body out there and saying, here we go, good luck. Mm-hmm. So acclimate to the weather. Get ready for the warmer months, guys. They're coming. They'll be right around the corner. It's already fucking February already, so it's crazy. Independence training moment. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to get better at any of the four zones for an emergency? We have always done this, but since it's the beginning of the month, we made sure that we got our kids paid up on the monthly interest that we have in their account for the money they have in their accounts. I don't know if we talked about this on the show before, so I'll tell you now. One of the ways that we encourage our kids to save and not spend their money is that Drew and to teach them about things like interest, accrual, and you know, responsible financial habits. We pay them interest on the money that they keep in their savings account, and we make them do the math, and then we pay them that amount, and we just transfer it, you know, from our account into theirs, and then it gives them the opportunity to see their money grow. And so we're talking about zone two here, family. Like, we want our kids to be financially responsible and financially independent. And if we're going to do that, we need to teach them how money really works. And so this is one of the ways that we're doing that. Have them like help your money help you make more money. You know, like let your money make its own money. And then you're getting free money for all intents and purposes. And now if you want to spend something, awesome. If you can get enough money and you're getting paid interest on that money, then you can use the interest to buy the things that you want. So they're learning that lesson and they're enjoying it so much so that they remind us to do it at the beginning of every month. So I don't know if we talked about that on the show before, so we thought we'd talk about that today for our Independence Training Moment. Independence Training Moment brought to you by Independence Training. Check us out at trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. We're happy to come to wherever you are. And if you get enough open enrollment students for us, then you train for free. It's really easy to host us. If you want to get us in your area, it doesn't take much work on your part. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network and the other services that the folks over at Heroes Media Group are putting out there into the world. Next week, we're going to be talking about the standard response within the average engagement. There's a lot of air quotes there. So I'm going to air quote standard response within the air quotes average engagement. We're going to talk about what that means and how we teach that over at Independence Training. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.